Praise the Lord. I feel like just praising God for just saying his name over and over. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lively group here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He loves us. Hallelujah. Huh? He loves us. Praise the Lord. Has he forgiven us? He has. Has he put our name in the book of life? Yes. Does he dwell in us? Wow. Praise you, God. Beautiful. How about happy Thanksgiving? So turn to your neighbor and just say, we're going to eat good today. Actually, today, we're going to eat good today down the sidewalk. We're going to have a Thanksgiving. All right. So praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the holiday. Thank you for the holiday. Hallelujah. One verse, just as an introduction, is Zechariah 1 and verse 6. I love to find verses in the Bible that are just kind of help us. They are from the heart of God and the mind of God. And this verse is actually very good, Zechariah 1, 6. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they take a hold, did they not take hold of your fathers? It's a rhetorical question. Lord is saying, I sent my prophets, and my word did overtake your fathers. Did. My word did. Actually, the word overtake there is, they take hold of your fathers, and the word is hunt. The word, I'll put my paraphrase, it hunted, it took a hold, the word went after your fathers, went after, hunted down your fathers and took a hold of them. What did? The word. The word did it. I remember in the American Revolution, there was a British General Howe who was after Washington, George Washington, and the Continental Army. They were in New Jersey, and Washington escaped, went over the Delaware River. And General Howe said, tomorrow morning, I'm going to bag that fox. I'm going to bag that fox, General Washington, right? And his lieutenant said, he won't be there tomorrow. Like, Washington will not be there. You're not going to get him. Because they found how good he was at escaping, you know. But the idea of hunting down somebody, the idea of the word of God actually overtaking you, that's a good thing. And has that happened in your life where the gospel got a hold of you and you started to believe it? And you just started to say, yeah, I believe in Christ. I believe Christ came. I believe in the incarnation. I believe in the resurrection. I believe this book is from God. I'm putting on faith. I'm believing God. Has the word of God taken a hold of you, hunted you, and got a hold of you? That's Zechariah 1:6. Let's look at it again. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets. Now give me the names of some of the prophets. Elijah, okay. Isaiah, Jeremiah, okay. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, okay. What happened? Did they not take hold of your fathers? Did they not hunt? Those words hunted, tracked down people and got a hold of them, and they turned to God. You know, some turned to God and turned back. And we're going to speak about that today and encourage you in the gospel. I want you to kind of get this in your heart and mind. The word of God planted in your heart, has an effect on you. And as you hear it, it's kind of like the reverberation. I was talking to one brother. Is Les here? I don't know. He's gone. Okay, there's Les. Yeah. Like, he's a musical guy, and he told me about two upright pianos, piano one and piano two, and don't put the damper on piano one. Hit the C chord in piano two, and by itself, piano one will reverberate that C chord, not the chord, but C note, will reverberate in piano one without being touched. But that number two, that physical phenomena of that sound wave will connect with the C note in piano one, and it will reverberate. And I kind of think about that with us and God. When God is like reverberating, that sends something to you because you are born of God. And when his word is given, it also sends something to you because you get it. You start to believe it. It has an effect on you. And even between each other, when you have a word and I don't have, but I'm wired for connecting with you, because we are members of the body of Christ. We are made in his image. We have something more than the outer man. We have the inner man. And I delight in the law of God after the inward man in Romans 7:22. Isn't that good? Okay. Let's go to one more. Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. This is Job speaking. Now, I love it that you're learning the Bible. I love it that you come here. I'm going to suggest something. If you come here for 2 years, you're going to learn a lot of Bible. Like, you're going to go, we go through the Bible. I mean, we go through the Bible. So you're going to learn the Bible. Why not go to church and learn the Bible? What do you think? But I want the Bible not only to be like something intellectually, but I would like it to hit a string inside me, a piano, and that I want to pick up on what God is saying and connect and just say, wow, that's God's eternal word. And that word is seeking me. It is hunting me down. It's implanted in me. That's why Job said this. He said, I have not gone back from the commandment of your lips. What you say, Lord, I'm with you. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary Thanksgiving dinner, which is necessary today. That is necessary today. We have it today, right down the sidewalk. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving with your family and everything. Dan over here, Pastor Dan, who is over here. Where is he? There he is. He's down here. On Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, if you want, it's like an outreach down in the city. They're going to meet here. If you want to get the address where they will be down in the city, you can get it from him after the service. He'll be in the hallway. Out in the entryway. They're going to bring food down there, tables, and do an outreach, so you're welcome. They do that every year, Thanksgiving morning and Christmas morning for the homeless people and whoever is out on the street at that time. So you're welcome. I just want to give that announcement and encourage him and his group that go out and do that. Yeah, that's amazing. All right, so necessary food. Now, here's a little subpoint. That word food is not in the original. The word necessities, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessities. Now, food is a necessity. Air is a necessity, right? Like shelter is a necessity. I esteem your word like high, not like above chocolate cake or above a nap in the afternoon or above a dollar, more than my very necessary things for my existence. I esteem your word in very high regard. Now, our message today is about two people, and they are Esau and Jacob. They were twins, fraternal twins, and they represent two natures. They represent two different mindsets, two different ways of thinking, Esau and Jacob. And probably you know generally about them, but we want to make a point today of how both of them, they were different, but both of them failed, and Jacob especially. But Jacob had something in his life that was beyond just the natural life, but he had faith. He was looking for something more. He had God was speaking to him and putting something in his heart, and he was believing God. Even though his life was like, actually, he was a con man. He was like a criminal guy. He was a deceitful person, and he could cheat people. Jacob, his name means that, and his uncle was similar, Laban. And he cheated Jacob. And Jacob, like we learned, you know, if I am a cheater, I might find myself with another cheater and I might get cheated. And that happened, like Jacob, that happened in his life. But even though his life was that way, he had something happening in his heart, which was faith in God. And that's what happened to us. None of us in this room, we're not that great. We're not that great. Just like turn to your neighbor and just say, when I look at you, I say amen to what he just said. Okay. I want to may wrap this up here. We're going to look at these two men and think about how all of us have in us a new capacity that the Word has been implanted in us. We have been born again. We have the Spirit of God and the Word of God in us as new men, new born again men and women. We are the children of God. And the Lord did this by his grace. So you are born of God and the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you have faith in God. And I want you to realize that there's great value in coming and listening, because that string in you will vibrate with what you hear. And you'll say, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. That means something to me. That's the message of grace. That's the love of God. That's the truth of God. That's the word of God that has hunted me down and has found me and put himself in us. And we are like Jacob. And in the story of Jacob, we have Jacob having big doubts about it. He's like an immature Christian. And by the way, I think that in our country, we have some kind of a revival, some kind of a movement toward God on college campuses and in our world that we have here. And we pray for that, and we hope that will happen. But not only that people will come to Christ and be born again, but they would also, like Jacob, have an ongoing relationship. He was hot and cold. And one time he went to sleep with his head on a stone, and he had a dream. And he saw a ladder that went from the earth to heaven. And that's the primary element that has happened in your life, that though you're not perfect, but you have a ladder between the earth and heaven. And somehow I like to think that that meant that Jacob had a connection with heaven and the earth, that he had both worlds. And we are living in a world where Esau doesn't have that. We're living in a world, we say it like this, that this is the house and two floors on the house. And we could say Esau is only on the first floor of the house. Natural man, cunning, a hunter, a natural man, rugged maybe good looking, maybe capable, very strong and capable guy. But all that he's got, it's just the first floor of the house. It's all that he has in his life. And Jacob not being perfect, but he had something more. He had a ladder that went to God. And when he woke up, he said, God is here, and I didn't know it. And when he woke up, he realized that God, my grandfather Abraham, met God, had promise with God. My father, Isaac, knew God, walked with God, and now God is speaking to me. And I realize that I am on the earth and my life is kind of messed up, but I got something that God is giving me. I have a connection. I have a ladder between the earth and heaven. And when he woke up, he said, God was here and I didn't know it. And then there was a stone there. He called it Bethel, the house of God. And he said to God, God, if you take me away from here and bring me back, I will know that you are God. And I'll give 10% of my income to you. 20 years later, he's back there. And he said, you are God. You are with me. You are for me. You do speak to me. You are the answer for my life. And I want to say to all of us here, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, what struggles you have as a person, I want to encourage you that God is for you. Christ is alive. He brought you into the family. God is your Father. You have the Holy Spirit. God, you have a future. You have a connection with God. God is for you, and just walk in that. That's what we're going to speak about. Amen? Okay. Welcome, Pastor Steve. Does anybody, we're going to hear the word now, but do you have something, a burden in your heart or something, you know, that you're concerned about for the coming week or in life, maybe something that you have a burden or something to share? You can just quietly in your chair pray a prayer, or if you want to, with your neighbor, say a prayer for a few moments, a moment or two. Feel free. Lord, we pray for our country today. All the men of God and the women of God ministering. There would be salt and light in the world, also on college campuses, in our city, Baltimore, on the streets, in public places. for the outreach on Thursday morning for those that are ministering, for our government, for your hand in our country, for peace, for your work of grace, please. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you for your love toward us in this assembly. Thank you for new people that are finding you and finding the Bible as a way of life and words. For the Bible college students, for men and women being raised up, some as pastors, also some to go into the highways and byways in other countries and bring the gospel to Laos, Vietnam, Philippines, Indonesia, every country in Africa. Thank you for Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Rinaldo, all the great and wonderful people in Africa and in India and other places. Thank you, Lord, for our families. In your name, amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Starting from verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. What do you think the man wanted? You got mom and dad. Dad wants what? Food. Meat. You know, fogo de chow. Dad wants meat. Okay. So he loved Esau because of that. He loved Esau. Jacob, Rebekah loved Jacob. We don't know why. Maybe he was a better communicator. He lived in tents. He lived in the tent. Maybe he's studying. He's studying and he has communication. I don't know. We can't say, but just it's fun to think about different people. How many of you have two sons and they are different from each other? Huh? Two daughters. Maybe, and so on. People are different, aren't they? Genetics is pretty incredible. They use it, the Bible, we glean from this a spiritual lesson, because later in the text, Esau was able to sell his birthright to his brother. And we understand that is because he's lacking faith. That Esau, though he's a capable man, he's a hunter, he lives in a field, maybe that's agriculture, maybe he's a strong guy, maybe he's a good guy in many ways. I in commentaries, you do read that they consider him to be a good guy. We don't have a lot of sin recorded in his life. But he's just a plain guy, a normal guy. That's the thing that that's the problem with him. And we meet them all the time, in this world. They are people like, do you think about God? No, not much. Are you, caring about the life after death? No, not really. Not worried about it, or I don't think about it. Life is good. Yeah, I got my friends, I have my hobbies, I have my career, I have my income. Life is good, life is good. That's Esau. But when something begins to bother you about life, that you can't figure it out, that it's something that I feel I'm wired for more than 70 years. I feel that I should be living forever, somewhere, like the next life. That's an inbuilt, like, spiritual desire. That's something that even left to ourselves, we wonder, why are we here? You know, that's the point. Okay, go to the text, verse 29. Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. So Jacob had food, Esau didn't. I also like to think of Esau it always being a dollar short, kind of like he's never right there. It's never like he's always like there's something missing. And in this case, he doesn't have food. I also think of him coming late. He's always a minute late. And this is a picture of our flesh. There's something missing, and my timing is not that good. Like, I missed it. And that's like the natural man. The natural man feels vanity. That's Ecclesiastes. He feels like, what's the point? What's the point? Like, where is it going, you know? Like Randy mentioned, I can't take my money with me. And Billy Graham said, I've never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. The hearse traveling to the cemetery with a U-Haul trailer behind it. Never happens. I can't take anything with me into the next life except our character, except what God has given you by faith, except for the fact that we have a ladder that connects heaven with the earth, that ladder is Christ, that he's the connection between us and God, and everything that we do in his name is not in vain. Every time you sweep the floor in the name of Christ, it has a value. Every time when you get up and you are willing to live in faith, then you have a value. You are storing treasure up in heaven. You're putting something for the next life in your life of faith. We are actually investing in the reality that we are born into when we are born again. That if you take a cup of water in the name of a disciple in Mark 10:42, you do not lose your reward. When you receive a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. When you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. When we think of Jacob, we think of a life that has a lot of disappointment. For example, you know, he worked for his uncle, and his uncle ripped him off. Then he worked for his wife, and his uncle made the switch. That he ended up marrying, he married the wrong woman, and he had to work 7 years for her. And then for the next woman, he worked seven more. He got her first, but he still was in debt to his uncle. His uncle was like ripping him off. And then when Joseph died, there was a coat with blood on it. And he said, the brothers said, this is Joseph's coat, isn't it? Yes, it is. Oh, he's been killed by a wild animal. Again, deceived. So it is with us. We don't know much. Sometimes we feel we've been cheated. We don't know much. Sometimes we feel somebody's playing a trick on me. Somebody's playing, maybe even God is playing a trick on me. We kind of feel that way. That's like Jacob. But then you look again at Jacob's life and you see there's something going on in his life that is from God. And Jacob is seeing the hand of God. When in Egypt, you know, his sons went down to Egypt. They came back and they said, Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. And Jacob said, no, he's not. And then it says, when he saw the wagons, his heart melted. He knew that Joseph was alive. When he saw the wagons. You see, the brothers came back from Egypt with wagons of food. And when Jacob saw the wagons, he believed. And that's like us too. Like, I have so many doubts and questions in my life, but there's something more bigger than us and our carnality, and that is God's Spirit, God's grace, God's people, God's message, the Word of God. And when you see it, you believe. When you see the wagons, you become a believer. Joseph is alive, Dad. Joseph is alive, Dad. Let's go before I die. Let's go down to Egypt and see him. And they brought him down to Egypt, and he saw his son. That's like us. But Esau doesn't have any of that. Let's read the text. It's chapter 25, verse... where are we? Verse 30. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. He's a good businessman. He said, okay, your food, you're hungry. I got the food. You're hungry. Let's make a deal. You sell me your birthright. Okay. So, he does. Verse 32. Esau said, I am at the point to die. You know, do you think that's an exaggeration? I'm at the point to die. You mean if you miss lunch, you're going to die? I mean, if you don't get this meal right now, you're going to die? Yeah, I'm so faint, I'm about to die. Really? I mean, that's like us, looking for our excuses. I remember one time my mother told me not to go swimming, so in my backpack, I put my swimsuit in the backpack. And so I go down, and I know I'm not going to disobey. I'm not going to go swimming. But just in case, like, circumstances change, you know, just in case, you know, something happens and I fall in the water or whatever. Wait, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so faint. I'm about to die. I'll sell you my birthright. Because what good will it do me if I am dead? That's what he said. It's a picture of us not going after God. It's a picture of us natural. It's a picture of us looking for an opportunity to get our way. It's a picture of us wanting life my way without God. I don't need God. I've got my life. And by the way, I'm going to eat today. Yeah, I'll sell you my birthright. Many things can be said about that. What's your price? What will you sell God for? What's your price? What will make you and I kind of get out of it, excuse ourselves? Save our life. What would it take for you and I to save our life, to have life our way, to do it our way, our thing? What would it? Yeah, and the answer is very easy. It's natural. And so this is what he did. And we read about it in Romans 7. It says, what I should do, I don't do it. What I shouldn't do is what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. But this is a good message for us. Let's go to the text again, and we'll wrap it up here. Verse 32. Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, rose up, went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Isn't it funny how we do that? We hate it, maybe what we did or that associated. We might hate the thing. It isn't the thing itself. The thing itself is good, but it's my attitude toward it. Like the church is good, but it's my attitude toward it might be bad. The Bible is good, but my attitude. God is great, but my attitude toward God is what that affected me. What I did had an effect on me in my heart, and I despised it. So that happens to us. We might even hate ourselves for what we've done. So that's also. So that leads us to Romans 8. Again, two short points here that I can share with you. Romans 8, verse 1. And it is, no condemnation. Now the text, context of Romans 8, 1 is my Esau nature. Context is my failures, my indifference. The context is, O wretched man that I am, chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am. And of course, this text is a lot in it, and the teaching of the text itself is very instructive. We said Wednesday night, one friend of mine years ago said that he was eating Hubby Chubby ice cream late at night, and he wanted to break the habit, but he couldn't. He would get more, one quart, and then that wasn't enough. He wanted even more before going to bed. So we all have these bad habits or addictions. Maybe it's food or sexual addictions or maybe other things that we all know about that people do and are disappointed with ourselves. And then the things that I should do, like I should read my Bible, or I should go to the church, or I should say prayers, and then I don't do those things. And then the bad habit that I shouldn't do is what I do. And that's the context of this text here. So, oh wretched man that I am, like I would sell my birthright. I would walk away from God. I could do this. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's the word there. Very disappointed with myself. Very disappointed. But then it says, in verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In verse 22. The inward man is the man inside, the born-again man, the one born again in us, Christ in us. That string that vibrates in your heart, when God hits a string on this piano, it affects your piano, your you. It affects you. There's actually a spiritual connection between God, He is your Father, and you, His Son. And that's what Jacob had in his life, because Jacob lived by faith. And there's two no's here. No condemnation is the first one, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This would be a great verse to understand not just intellectually, but spiritually. No condemnation. Freedom of spirit. I haven't done anything wrong. I am free. God is my Father. He is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I feel that liberty in my heart. There's no condemnation. I'm not thinking about things I've done wrong. I'm free. God is not condemning me. God is embracing me. Maybe another way of saying it is if God sat in a room with you, just you and God, you would walk out of the room not condemned. He would build you up. He would speak grace to you. He would encourage you. He would love you. He would say, there's more to life than the first floor of the house. There is me. I am your Father. I am God. And I'm touching your heart so that you will know me. And I am the God that does not condemn you. I am the God that sets you free. I'm the one that opens you up. I'm the one that enlightens your mind. I'm the one that puts love in your heart. I'm the one that says you're not guilty of your sin. Christ became guilty, so you are free. You're not condemned. It doesn't exist in God. There's no condemnation in God regarding us. There isn't any regarding us. So that's the number one thing. That's a totally a message that stands on its own. You are not condemned. The world will condemn you a lot. The world will condemn, especially a Christian, a lot. Day and night, the Bible says, Revelation chapter 12, the devil is the accuser of the brethren day and night. We are born condemned, John 3, 17 and 18. This is our condemnation. We are born into the world condemned. We live in the condemnation, and the world around us condemns us day and night for who we are, what we have done, what we have not done. It's condemnation. That's the world. But God, not in God. No, in God, there's a party. There's merriment in Luke 15. There's joy over one sinner that is converted. There is a rejoice in this that your name is written in the book of life. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice, Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4. Always in verse 4. The nature of God is in the Psalm 16 verse 11, in his presence is the fullness of joy. It's the nature of God. There's no condemnation in God. No, there's correction, there's love, there's encouragement, but no condemnation at all. The second one is in Romans 8, and it is verse 35, no separation. Just two things that we'll share today here. No separation. Right? Did I spell it right? Yep. Will God ever leave you? No. Ask Jacob. No. He kept at it. He kept at it. I wanted to quit, but he drew me back. I just looked. I believed. I started to believe him, and he taught me, and he showed me his grace and who he is. And that I am now persuaded, Paul said. I am persuaded. I love that word. Isn't it good? Verse 38, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am understanding that life is not about us like being really good people and being always right. No, life is about us on the first floor of the house with a lot of trouble that happens in life. But I always have that sense of a ladder. I always have that sense of angels coming and going upon that ladder. I always have a sense that God has not forsaken me. I always have a sense that nothing can separate us from His love. I always have a sense I can always go back to God. Always, He'll always be there. I can always say, okay, I am Jacob. I am Jacob, but I've got the promises. I've got the birthright. I have access to God. He is for me, not against me. And the firstborn will serve the younger. That was Esau would serve Jacob, because that's how it goes in the kingdom of God. The strong man doesn't win. The weak one does, and he has the favor. Because Christ came into the world so that we could be free and have Him in our life. Closing. When Pilate brought Jesus before the crowd, Pilate was trying to get Christ off the hook. He had this idea of we bring another one from prison and bring him, and the crowd can decide which one to crucify. And they brought up Barabbas. Barabbas, his name means son of the Father. Son of the Father. In some way, Barabbas is like Christ because they are both sons. One is a son of God, and the other one is a son of the Father. Maybe the son of the devil. His father is the devil. And who is going to be crucified in the mind of the world? What does the world say? Crucify Christ. Crucify the Son of God. What should we do with Barabbas? Set him free. That's us. We have been set free. We were guilty, but we've been set free. We could sell our birthright, but we have been set free for another day to live by faith in the God of all grace, who will not condemn us and not be separated from us, who will always be there for you. And as a Christian, there are times when you will get faint and weak, and you might fail and stumble and be very troubled. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but he never did it again, because he had God. Jacob messed up, but he had God. You might mess up and get weak and frail, but you have God. Who is God? He is the one that does not condemn you. He sets you free, gives you grace, and nothing can separate you from that love that He has for you. It's an everlasting love, an eternal love. It's His nature. God wants us to know His love. God wants us to know forgiveness. All right, lastly, sometimes people get very angry and very hateful. And they're like a turtle that gets in the shell, and they defend themselves. Don't talk to me. I read this morning about Ty Cobb, this baseball player who was just a nasty person. He had a record for his hits. You know, Pete Rose talked about him. Okay, Pete Rose broke his record, a 57-year-old record by Ty Cobb. But he was disliked by all the players, and he was the kind of player who would take out a file, put a razor edge on the metal cleats at the bottom of his baseball shoes before the game in front of everybody so that the opposing team would be nervous about him sliding into second base. Like, he was a vicious player, and he had no friends. Even his teammates, they kind of stayed away from him. And he had his few friends, Davy Jones, one of them, said he had such a rotten disposition that it was hard to be his friend. And I was probably the best friend he had on this earth. Famous guy, miserable person. Successful, but not having what I need. How about that? Life happens to all of us. And the only answer isn't you managing your life. No. The answer is the living God who loves you. and come back to Him again and again. Trust Him. He's with you. He'll never leave you. But in your attitude, don't get crusty, tired, old, nasty, angry, hateful, jealous, selfish. Don't be like that. But be alive and be a minister and care about others and learn love, because God has loved us, paid the great price so that we could come out of our shell and we'd have that inner man in us that would reverberate with that string called God. And we would say, amen to God. That's what I want. I want the new life. I want the Spirit of God in my life. I want the love of God in my life. I want this word to search me out and teach me and guide me in these days. Because one day our life will be over, but it will not be over. Because we have not just the first floor of the house, we have the whole house that we're living in. And we're learning who He is. And it affects us. Amen.